What's up, guys? This is the Uncontested Podcast, covering the Oklahoma City Thunder. This podcast is ran by Jacob, Nick, Justin, Taylor, and Kamiar. Listen to future episodes on your favorite podcast streaming service like iTunes or Spotify. And don't forget to leave a 5-star rating.
This is Lou Dort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up? Welcome to the Uncontested Podcast. We are a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, the official podcast of BoomtownHoops.com, live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast version of this that we're dropping late Sunday night, hello, what's up? Welcome. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. I've got Justin Peabody along for the ride tonight.
Hello, everybody.
We have Taylor Peterson in the building.
What up?
Kamiar Marabian just got done eating Panera.
Every time I see Taylor, I like to think of his name and say it backwards, like Paylor Teterson. I'm a big fan of that.
I thought you were going to say you instantly realize you're speaking to the most handsome member.
That is right. Justin is officially my new
unconsciously.
Favorite. Yeah, Justin was going to let it slip.
He's going to give the head nod to Nick over being the most attractive one out of the group.
It's and the eyebrows.
Subconsciously, said Taylor instead. So,
yeah. Boom. Taylor's winning. We have special guest joining us tonight, the editor-in-chief of the Vista, the UCO newspaper.
Yes.
A freelancer for the Norman Transcript.
Yes.
And voice you hear at the beginning of every Uncontested podcast because he does the intro. We have Jacob Silva along with us tonight.
Hello, very excited to be here. You know, coming out of the woodwork once again for a Sunday night episode.
I was hoping you'd just rattle off the script again.
Yeah, sure. If I take my hat off, does it look like we're the kind of the same person at the bottom?
Yeah, it does. Actually, it's really weird.
Jacob, special request. Can you lower my voice by like a few octaves in post so that way I don't sound exactly like Kamiar for the full episode?
People are going to get confused with you and Kamiar listening live. They're going to get confused watching the live stream of you and Kamiar because you look like brothers, even though your ancestors are from literally different hemispheres.
Yeah. I'm the one with bad takes. He's the good one. Or is he?
We'll see.
I love it. All right, guys. Well, we have some NBA stuff to talk about. Before we get there, though, a few things we want to let you guys know about. First off, we've alluded to it on our past two post-game podcasts, if you've listened to those two. The one that I did was the win against Atlanta. And then, of course, whenever Justin runs a post-game, complete ass beating against the Denver Nuggets. But Justin and I have referenced it. This has been in the works for a little bit now, but we are excited to announce that starting this coming Wednesday against the Dallas Mavericks for the rest of this season, the Uncontested post-game podcast will still be in your podcast feed like normal. If you like listening in the morning after on your ride to work or whatever, still there. But our post-game podcast will now be recorded live on the Locker Room app. So if you are familiar with the Locker Room app, you know how it works. If you are not, we will be going live on Locker Room. You can download the Locker Room app, make an account, and it's essentially a live audio place where people can go talk sports. So we will be going live on there after every Thunder game. We will do our post-game show there. And what's really cool is if you are listening to us live, you can actually click a button and we can bring you onto the episode and you can talk to us and ask us your questions in real time rather than sending us Twitter questions. So it's a really awesome way for us to interact with you guys. And we are super excited about it. So we want to give you guys, what's the word I'm looking for? Some motivation to join Locker Room. So if you already have the app, go ahead and do this. If you don't, make an account, but make sure you follow the NBA group and the OKC Thunder group on Locker Room, screenshot it and send it to us. Reply to us on the tweet that we'll be dropping later Sunday night with all these instructions. And we're going to pick a few of you who sign up for the app. And we're going to send you one of our free new Dortle Combat t-shirts. If you haven't seen the shirt
yet. Shout out,
Kamiar. Yeah. Great idea by Kamiar.
Moneymaker.
These shirts are dope.
I shake my moneymaker.
They look awesome.
Why we keep you on the pod.
Ooh, yes, good idea, Sean. We will
send out a warm pumpkin.
Yes. Sean asks in the chat, will we send out the links?
Yes.
We will have those links up after every post game. We'll send out a link tonight on Twitter on how you guys can download and get in on the contest. But we're going to pick a handful of you guys and ship you a free Dortle Combat shirt. If you haven't seen the Dortle Combat shirts, go to our Twitter handle. You can find them there. They are freaking awesome. If you don't win one, you can still buy one. They're pretty cheap. Is that right, Justin?
They were, I think, for a few days. I think they're $13 for a limited time only.
And then back to 20.
I don't know. Yeah, $20.
Something like okay. That. So they're still nice not too
t-shirts.
Bad. Yeah. So, and idea cracked by Kamiar, executed by Justin. They are awesome shirts. We've also got the Lutang shirts up for sale and the Yes GA shirts. So, but make sure you go
and
download
Pokemon.
And Pokemon.
What am I doing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hey,
been killing in the
25th anniversary of Pokemon. If you guys didn't know,
apparently he turned into a god once he went to the bubble.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, we'll mention that here in a second. He's been balling.
And OKC Blue announced that you can officially watch the rest of the Blue regular season games, for what that's worth, the rest of the regular season bubble games on the Thunder website and Thunder app if you are in Oklahoma. So you don't have to go to like ESPN Plus.
And a lot of their games are at 10:30 a.m. So production in Oklahoma just went down the toilet. So make sure you guys sign up for the Locker Room app. We will be starting this Wednesday with our post-game show after the Dallas Mavericks. We're actually having a Dallas Mavericks guest on with us. Taylor will be hosting that episode, and we will be live on Locker Room, so you can listen in live right after the game. You can ask your questions instead of sending them in. You can actually like physically ask them. So we're really excited about it. So make sure you guys download the Locker Room app. Check out our tweet. Send us your screenshot so we can enter you to win a t-shirt. So we're pretty excited about that. With all of that being said, make sure you guys, yes, Locker Room is free to join. Sorry, someone in chat just asked that. It is free to join and it is awesome.
Free to listen to us. Yeah, we aren't charging you guys anything or anything crazy like that.
It's pretty cool. It's like you can ask questions in the discussion just like we do on our live streams, just like you ask Twitter questions. You can submit them in writing, or like Jacob mentioned, we can bring you up on stage. You can speak it into your phone. And so it's kind of like a radio call-in show where you get to actually ask your question live and we can answer it right there.
I call you a yard bird.
Get you out of hand, Sean.
You yard bird.
We can boot you back down to the...
Come here, tough guy. Come in and stand to my face.
It's going to be a blast. We're excited. So that goes live on Wednesday night. So just so you guys are aware but download the app. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a blast. Also, for those of you in the chat tonight, keep asking those questions. We have a segment tonight where we're going to scroll through the chat and answer all of your questions as well. So get them in the chat. We'll get to them soon. Gentlemen, with that being said, let's dive in to some Thunder basketball. This past week, OKC went 2-2. They lost. They bookended the week with losses. They started the week with a loss to the Heat on Monday night. They ended the week last night getting absolutely thumped by the Denver Nuggets. And in between was sandwiched two wins, a game winner by one Lugans Dort against the San Antonio Spurs. And then a pretty solid, really leading for most of the game win against the Atlanta Hawks. My question for you, what is the takeaway from this past week? What have you seen this past week? What stuck out that you think is significant with this team?
Shea's pretty good. And the Atlanta Hawks pulled plug on their rebuild like two seasons too early.
The Atlanta Hawks are bad at the sport of basketball.
I just don't get it, man.
That's a big takeaway. I think the Spurs win looks good until you realize how many people were out missing for the Spurs. Mm-hmm. They were pretty shorthanded. So yeah,
they were
two
short-handed, and the Thunder still had to hit a buzzer beater to beat them.
Right, two wins in a row, but you know, not the best competition. Losing to the Heat and losing to the Nuggets, man, that loss to the Nuggets
was bad.
It was wire to wire. It was brutal. And
3 minutes in, and you knew it was over. Three minutes in, and Justin, who had the post game, was just thinking, "God damn it!"
Every time
this again. Every time, yeah, pretty much.
We should actually reach out to the Thunder organization and Sam Presti and tell him, "Hey, if you want a tank and get that number one overall pick,
cut the check. I'll cover every game."
There you go.
We got a guy,
Michael Cage. You're out,
and we'll re-jinx.
And you butcher every name.
They'll win.
If they want a Michael Cage replacement, they need Taylor, because he'll just ruin every name
he
says.
True.
I thoroughly enjoyed the way Michael Cage said Bol Bol. You just forgot the L, Bobo, and it really made me want some Bobo's chicken.
But one of my favorite, forever favorite cageisms is when, and I'm sure some of you guys know where I'm going with this, is when somebody went up, I think it was Aaron Gordon, went to lay it up, and the ball went on the back of the rim, back iron, and it rolled around the rim, and it rolled off onto the floor. And Michael Cage was like, oh, man, he got a rim job. And I was like thinking, hey, it's did like this Doris guy Burke just today. Say this? I was like, did this guy just say this on, like, regional, I guess, TV?
At least not on the court.
Well, I'm reading comments and stuff now. Doris Burke had that segment today during the Celtics game, the Bucks game, where she was talking about Giannis driving to the rim. I can't talk today. Just like Dort and Shaq, like we were talking about earlier. Anyways, if you guys haven't seen that video yet, go and look it up because it's incredibly hilarious.
He was like, you got to come hard. It's more important to card, huh? Come hard than come fast. And I was just like, Doris, oh my gosh. It was wild.
Sunday.
Michael Cage, also the guy that said, now that's a pocket pass. When you pass to somebody in the paint, that's a pocket pass. And I was like, bro, that is not a pocket pass. How did you play NBA basketball?
That is not how that works.
I love it. I love it so much.
So Clean Glass 538. 538 came out with an article. It was after Shea's career high night against the Spurs earlier this week, talking about just his production in general and specifically him driving to the basket, which we've talked about so much over the past couple of weeks, really, on this podcast. But there were some stats that really kind of put everything into perspective that I found really interesting. Shea currently leads the league with 25.4 drives per game, like we've mentioned. But that is on pace to break the record. That it would be the highest drives to the basket per game since 2013-2014. It's also only 4 drives per game less than the Portland Trailblazers as an entire team.
Wow.
It's pretty wild. He's shooting 55.1% from the field out of his record-setting drives and 51.4% after 3 or more dribbles, which is pretty interesting as well. And then Jake had mentioned adding, I think the most exciting thing just to kind of, you guys should go, you know, I could pretend to be like some of those national guys. Are like, you know, I went on Clean the Glass and Synergy and looked up the Raptor.
Synergy,
and
it's always Synergy.
And the, yeah, right. no, I just went to 538.com and read this awesome article and they already did all the work for you. So you guys should go and do that as well. With Very that being nice. Said, too,
work I was smarter, not harder.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. I was listening to both Justin and Jacob's post-game podcast from the past 2 games today as I was catching up on my podcast. And one thing that, Jacob, I think that you mentioned that's really important is, you know, obviously we know how crafty and skilled Shea is at getting to the basket. But what stood out to me the most this week in those games where he went off, you know, he had 31 against the Cavs here a while back. Now he had his career high of 41 or 42 against the Spurs, like I mentioned. That step back three and that 3-point shot, the off the dribble three, the step back three, it opens his game. Not only is he hitting it more consistently, but it's opening his game so much more. And it's just allowing him to drive to the basket at will like he was. And there's just not very many people who can stop him because they aren't sure how to guard him now. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's almost Harden-esque.
I said on my post game, you know, if he can start hitting that three off the screen and making people step up on that screen or go over the top to guard him, he becomes like Harden-esque offensively. Yeah. I mean, it really
it sounds
is.
Like a hot take, but it's not that hot.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to score like, you know, 40 a night like Harden or whatever.
Sure.
But whenever you have to go over that screen to guard him, he is so good going to the basket that, I mean, it becomes like a Harden style offensive player. Mm-hmm. Another thing I wanted to mention from this week, we've talked a lot about Shea here and rightfully so. Ty Jerome makes his Thunder debut this season for the Thunder. This week, not this season. He's played 2 games, got called up from the G League after the news that Hamidou Diallo would not be playing until after the All-Star break. What are you guys' thoughts on Ty's performance in his first 2 games in a Thunder uniform?
Ty looks good. He looks like he's gained some confidence being in the bubble and rehabbing from that injury. You know, we made the joke, like the entire Thunder fandom, Thunder Twitter, was making the joke, like, is Ty Jerome actually a real person? Because we never even like got to really see him while he was rehabbing.
He's like Q.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. So it's nice to see him back. But, you know, watching him in the bubble, And I think this is probably him just getting his legs back under him. But I didn't expect that he'd be able to come to the NBA and do what he was doing down there against NBA level talent. And he did. He's proven those first two games that he can do that. Now, like Justin and Jacob both mentioned, your guys' post games, that's going to change once defenses start to adjust to him. And he's actually in a scouting report. They have a little more film on him. But I've been really impressed so far. He definitely looks to get others involved. He definitely likes to drive to the rim. Not like Shea, but he likes to drive to the rim like Shea likes to drive to the rim. He needs to work on that jumper. Defense, you know, can use a little work. But overall, I'm pretty impressed with Ty.
I think a lot of Thunder fans came into the season and saw that we had Justin Jackson on our roster. And they were like, oh, that guy's kind of nice. He's underrated. He can make threes and stuff. But I think that's actually just Ty Jerome. I think he's gonna be what we had hoped Justin Jackson might turn up, end up being on this young Thunder roster. Hope he just shoots a solid percentage from three, like play good defense, make the right pass. That's all we can really ask.
He reminds me a little of Teo in the sense that he's a floor general, but he's kind of conservative. He doesn't do real flashy stuff. He just plays hard. He makes the correct pass, not the flashy pass. He shoots the three when it's open.
And looks really comfortable. That was the thing that struck me as, like, for a guy that, you know, like we said, hasn't really even sniffed the lineup until the last two games. These two games, he looked really comfortable out there. He didn't look like I would look if I was getting my first NBA minutes where I'd be like pissing down my leg. Like
pulling a Reggie Jackson and throwing up at the scorer's table.
Yeah, right.
He looked like he belonged out there.
Yeah, one thing about Ty Jerome is he plays so slow. And I remember the timeline guys warning me and Jacob about that when we were talking about the Chris Paul trade back prior to the beginning of the season. But he really, it's almost like he's moving in slow motion out there, which kind of works to his advantage.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating. One other thought that I had of this past week of Thunder basketball, and if you guys have any more thoughts, please throw them out there. The roller coaster of Darius Bazley continues.
Yeah.
I mean, that game against the Spurs,
so bad,
was awful. His body language was terrible. And then he came out Friday and played one of his best games of the season, maybe his best game of the season, you know? And so the up and down nature of him, that continues. But like Justin mentioned on his post game pod after the Denver game, two good games for him in a row now. They have two more games before the break. So I'm interested to see how he plays against Dallas and San Antonio on the back-to-back, gets a week off, and then comes back. And in the second half of this season, can he find some consistency? Can he string, like Justin mentioned, 5-10 games together where he's playing a consistently well brand of basketball? I mean, he could be consistent and just miss every damn shot he takes. That's not the consistency we're looking for, though, right? I'm interested to see, can he string together multiple good games and start to piece this thing together, you know?
Yeah.
So one thing that I thought was really interesting, Justin, that you brought up on last night's post game, what about playing Bazley a little more at the three?
Yes.
I mean, I know they're playing essentially positionless basketball, right? But playing Bazley alongside like a Roby and alongside like an Al Horford all at the same time and have Bazley primarily at the wing. I really like that idea. And I think that to your point, Justin, that could really kind of play towards his strengths. He can shoot the ball from outside when he has it going. We've seen him prefer to drive to the basket. He can still get down low and protect the paint and get some rebounds. But I think his strengths really, I think that fit really well with this team in certain lineups when he's playing the three.
Yeah, you can see him like in certain matchups at the four, he does well. But in certain ones, I mean, he just gets roughed up. He's just not strong enough yet to hold his own in a lot of those four matchups that he gets stuck in. Now three, my question would be, you know, is he quick enough for some of those guys that he'd be stuck on playing the three? I think that would be a concern, but overall, I would like to see him get some more minutes at three and just see what he can do with it. Like I think he could be that long, lanky wing scorer type role versus, you know, getting more action down in the post.
Other than SGA, wouldn't you be putting all of your shooting really in the front court then, since Dort's basically coming back to earth with his three-point shot and Baze is never going to be a great three-point shooter? So, like, you know, he still opens the floor up, kind of. You have bigs in the corners now, letting them operate, but I don't know if Baze is athletic enough to get those spin moves off against guys that are faster than him.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point. And my biggest concern would be, what do you do what do you do with the backcourt? Like, what lineup does that make a lot of sense? Because I really like the SGA, Tao, Dort lineups, right. And you can't play Baze at the three in that setting. I like the SGA 2-point guard lineups, even if it's not Tao, whoever's alongside him. And so that gets a little more complicated, but I like it. I like it from a developmental perspective of getting Baze some more burn at the three. I would like to see that.
I agree.
Yeah, I always think about watching Terrence Ferguson have a bad night, and you could like just see the confidence like leaving his body on the court.
And the next game,
he wouldn't come back and swing for the fences really. But I that's why I like seeing what Baze did the two games after that. 18 points, 22 points. Now some of you in the chat may say, well, he was a minus 33. In the most recent game, but you know that happens sometimes.
The entire starting unit was roughly minus 30 last night.
Right,
I think.
Right. That's a really good point. I've mentioned Andre Robertson in the past, Silva. You know, guys who definitely seem to be mental, in the sense that you know they let the game affect them mentally, and you can just see it in their body language. We definitely saw that earlier in the week with Baisley when he had some of those tough games, and then you see him just smiling throughout the game and even in the post game. Like I think of that big dunk he had. Was that also against the Spurs where he had that monster dunk where he drove to the rim like. You know, did a makes him move the ball around?
Double clutch
up in the
air.
That
was at the end of that Atlanta game. Yeah,
or was Atlanta? Oh yeah, okay,
that's right.
But you just saw him smiling ear to ear, and much more. I think much better body language overall than what we saw at the beginning of the week, where he's basically like declining high fives and just kind of standing in the corner.
Yeah, dunks are fun, man.
It comes with maturity too, because you know we right. Yeah, dunks are fun.
I'd buy people too if I could dunk. I'd love to
That's
dunk.
Fair. That's yeah. fair.
Very good. Any more thoots on this past week?
We got Sean's going to be super upset, but I actually have this one typed up already. Speaking of point guards.
Yeah, Tao had a 12 assists.
Yeah, he did.
12 assists, a Thunder rookie record.
I believe tied James Harden. Is that right? Or am I making that
did
up?
Did he tie it or did he beat James
Maybe
Harden?
He did beat it. Maybe he beat James Harden. Yeah,
so he had a pass in that game. Where he was on the left wing, he drove in, crossed over to the right hand in the paint, looked to the elbow, and then threw like a no-look righty bounce pass to the baseline cutter. And like it legit got me out of my chair. I was like, ooh, Tao can do that?
That was, well, that and then was he's the scoring the basketball too.
Yeah. And it's not to get too off topic from Tao here. I keep saying this. He is a very conservative point guard, right? There's nothing flashy about the dude. And it's funny that the Thunder drafted him. And drafted Poku, who was like the flashiest guy in the world, right? I mean, this dude's in the G League throwing over the back passes, jumping out of bounds for alley-oops.
That was amazing.
Tao doesn't even wear any like sleeves or anything. It's like he's just like on my player on 2K, and he just like selected the most generic person, even with his haircut. It's I'd like to see Tao express himself a little bit more, like. Poku at least has his daggum fanny pack and jumpsuits.
He got his daggum.
Would it not just surprise the crap out of you to see Tao like go to the basket and like get a dunk or something and turn around and just start talking trash in someone's face?
I would love that so much.
I would.
You see him super pumped up.
He is getting a lot of confidence down there in the bowl. I'm excited to see what happens when he comes back.
Yeah, still not shooting the ball worth a shit.
Right.
But everything else has been a lot of fun.
Hit free throws.
Yeah.
Magical things can happen.
Like behind the back and then layup. Like that's the kind of shit I try at pickup that ends up being like a six-step travel.
Here's the deal. Magical things always happen when you're playing with a dude named Moses, and I don't think you ever play with a dude named Moses.
We need to find a friend named Moses who's vaccinated and invite him to play pickup.
Yeah, that's fine.
What I got Moses Brown has been tearing it up.
Yeah, he has.
And like a lot of it is because he's just so much more physically dominant than his competition.
Yeah, you watch the highlights.
He real tall.
Moses Brown and Poku out there. It's just it looks unfair. It's like in college.
And then you bring in Yurt 7. Another 7.
Then you have Yurt 7. So in college, I'm 6'7" for those listening. My roommate
weird flex, but all right.
No, okay, it's relevant.
I don't know where this is going.
My roommate in college was also 6'7", and we just like ran train in intramurals because you can't compete with that, and that's what Poku and Moses Brown look like in the G League. It's just they're like the kids in the YMCA league growing up that just like hit puberty before everyone else, and they're just like two heads taller. It's not fair.
I thought Yurt 7 was skinnier, more along the lines of a Yurt 4, but we're in the size Yurt 7 is good. Nate does want to talk about the Rockets pick, and I think a lot of people are concerned about the Rockets pick. We were talking about the Rockets pick before we started recording. I'm getting very, very uncomfy about even getting that Rockets pick, y'all. They don't look good.
We will take that here in just a little bit. We have a section specifically for some of the chat questions. So, Nate, don't worry. We will definitely dive into that. I think that's one of the hottest topics for the Thunder right now. Before we get there, though, we do want to talk about the second half of the schedule has come out. And the Thunder, I think everyone saw this second half of the schedule and said, oh, that's not as bad as what the first half of the schedule was. So my question for you guys is, as we get through the All-Star break and we get to the second half of the season with the Thunder sitting about 5th, 6th, 7th in lottery odds right now, is there a chance that this team goes on a run and really screws over their chance at a high pick?
Yes.
Yes,
there is.
Yes,
I think Sam Presti might shoot him in the foot with a trade, like trade Al, trade George, and then don't give us anyone else. That's good. That might be his way of doing it.
Literally just shoot him in the foot.
Literally.
So, why don't you have a seat?
Gonna put the wrong screws in your foot like you're Kevin Durant too.
Eric Horn and I were joking about this on Twitter yesterday. Trevor Ariza is gonna show up to the practice facility for the first time ever, and Sam Presti's gonna open up a drawer that just has like stacks of forged positive COVID tests. He's gonna be like, "Oh, contact tracing. We're all out for 2 weeks. I'm trying to take those picks."
Nope, no need to reschedule. We pulled it.
I think that you're going to understand in the next few weeks. You should be able to understand pretty clearly what OKC's end game is for this season. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, like Silva said, whether it's trades, whether it's being more aggressive about resting guys, like there's gonna need, if they are really serious about ensuring they end up with a top lottery pick, they're gonna have to make some more aggressive measures, because the team as currently constructed is not bad enough. It's clear they're not in the same tier as the Timberwolves.
And that's with George Hill having been gone weeks already. Like, you know, you just have Al Horford now, and that's before Pokuševski and those dudes come back to the team.
Well, bringing Poku back could help things.
I mean, definitely.
And just give him the green light and let him shoot 20 times a game. That'll help.
Another thing is just the season's been so weird. You know, I mean, they've played a lot, like the Spurs game probably should have been a loss if any of the Spurs play, or they had played within the past 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, but they were off because of COVID protocol. As we get past the All-Star break and we're seeing both in the NBA and nationwide here in America that COVID cases are dropping, more vaccines are going into arms, things are looking better, and it looks like we finally have a light at the end of the tunnel. That may mean that the Thunder don't catch a team like the Spurs that are missing five guys and playing LaMarcus Aldridge off the bench. It might mean that, you know, they don't catch the Atlanta Hawks, who are missing like all their young wings, who are really their promising future. And those games start to become losses, you know. Silva, you brought up something interesting earlier about the idea of making a trade to help this team bottom out. Traditionally, the trade deadline comes right on the tail end of the All-Star break. And the All-Star break, a week where no teams are playing, is a chance for GMs to talk. Well, the All-Star break happens this year, and then it's 2 weeks later.
Yeah,
is the trade deadline. Do you guys think we start to see some trades a little bit before the deadline with the All-Star break coming so early this year?
Yeah, I think a lot of these teams use the All-Star break as like a realignment period. Like, they're resting. If you're a team like Boston, you're just trying to get healthy. Yeah, for sure. I think we start seeing trades like leading up to All-Star and not after.
I think we'll see some.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing we're going to see is all the different rumors flying about for 2 weeks, right? I'm sure there's going to be plenty of those, because to your point, Jacob, Niffin, two Jacobs tonight, to your point, Jacob, GMs are going to be talking. So there's going to be a lot of rumors flying around. But like in terms of Sam Presti looking for offers for George Hill and Mike Muscala and Al Horford, I mean, sure, if the right deal is there, he's going to pull the trigger regardless of when that is. But I could see GMs like Sam, again, which this is pretty much from everything we're hearing, it's going to be more of a seller's market because there's not going to be a lot of teams looking to offload guys like Al Horford's or George Hill's. And so because of that, if you're Sam Presti, you're going to want to wait until almost the deadline, right, to see what the best offer ends up being.
Yeah, and deadlines make people that, work, man.
Right.
Yeah. Now, ask any college kid, Silva. Deadlines make people work, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Especially as procrastinators.
Yeah.
Sean in the comments, this, like, an elite comment, by the way. I wouldn't trade Poku for Monix, but I'd trade Hamadou Diallo for Monix.
Oh, whoa.
And the washing machine.
We keep talking about this like it's a bad thing. I mean, there's some really good things that are happening right now in terms of player development, the system that Dignall and the coaching staff is putting into place that I think will stay and stand when Thunder do acquire more young talent to put around SGA in the coming years. I forgot what podcast I was listening to. Somebody mentioned almost similar to like the Golden State, prior to KD, that kind of system. And then what you have to do now is bring in that young talent, right? And I think that's going to come naturally, to Justin's point, through trades. I really think that's it. Now, if you can't get rid of Al Horford, yeah, maybe you're sitting him a little more than you are at the beginning of this first half of the season. But there are a lot of positives to take from the stretch of Thunder basketball as well. And maybe the biggest of those is Shea and that step he's taken, the Thunder development, the other guys, the other youth, and then the system that's been put in place on both ends of the basketball.
Yeah, I agree. Any other thoughts on the upcoming second half of the schedule, guys?
Honestly, not. Like, what I keep on finding myself thinking about is the salary floor for next year and how OKC has like nobody worth many dollars. And I keep on finding myself thinking what random free agents OKC is going to end up signing for like $30 million over 3 years. And what random guys that don't deserve those contracts. But like, I'm really intrigued to see if the team improves and if they fiddle around with the roster some more. But
yeah,
I mean, what did we say? We definitely said to take the under on like what, 25 games won.
Yeah.
And, doesn't look good so far with their schedule easing up.
One thing I think that's going to be interesting coming down the stretch especially towards the very end of the season, now that the 10 teams can get into the playoffs or at least the play-in, I think it's going to make games more competitive down the stretch. There's going to be teams like the Kings who really want to make at least a play-in and a chance for the playoffs because they've been deprived of it for so long. I think you're going to see teams be a little more competitive down the stretch, except those teams that are explicitly tanking, the Detroit Pistons, the Minnesota Timberwolves, et cetera. Hopefully Oklahoma City will be in that conversation at that point, fighting for a chance to win a number one overall pick in the draft. But I think you're going to see more competitive games, which may work out to the Thunder's favor if the goal is, and I truly think it does, is to lose games to maximize your draft pick.
All right. I want to see Mo Bamba or Blake Griffin in OKC. Either one.
I want Mo.
One's an asset. One comes with an asset.
Yeah, definitely. I had this conversation on a podcast today, actually. What is Detroit going to be willing to give up to sell off Blake Griffin? Because it has to be pretty substantial if you are absorbing $40 million in Blake Griffin for next season.
It's Sile Kingler. Here he is, bring him back 3-and-D wing. Thunder I legend. Heard he's shooting really well from three.
Yeah,
at the corners.
Sile Kingler Renaissance.
Yep.
All right. Time for the tank meter.
Yes, please.
Let's get to the tank meter.
Loser! You're a loser!
And that means that the number one pick in the NBA draft goes to...
All right, Silva doesn't know the rules of the tank meter, so let's lay it out for him. Silva, if the tank meter is like the gas meter in your car. If it's completely full, it means you are full-on tanking. You are trying to get the number one pick. If it's empty, you are trying to make the playoffs. So from empty to full, Taylor, Where's the tank meter this week?
Oh, I mean, after this week and seeing what the Thunder was able to do, especially because of the young guys like Shea and others, not so much because of any of the veterans, we're pretty close to full. I'm not going to say we're all the way full, but, you know, like maybe like 2 days after you fill up your car tank and, you know, the needle's moved up a little bit from full, but you still have a good week and a half, 2 weeks, depending on your car. It's kind of where the Thunder are after this week. A pretty impressive week in terms of basketball-wise for this OKC team. Except, I guess, maybe could knock it down a little bit just because of how they lost to an elite team, an elite playoff, or even a championship contender, I guess you could say, like the Denver Nuggets. But all that to say, I mean, it was a pretty impressive week for these young Thunder players.
Justin, where are you putting the meter at?
I'm going to put the meter at 3/4 of a tank. You know, full tank would have been going 0-5, which did not happen. But I think that, like we talked about, the wins that they had, Atlanta, who is bona fide terrible, especially on the defensive end, and then a depleted San Antonio Spurs team on a buzzer beater, that's not enough to like make me immediately say like they're gonna. Sorry. Can't say that, Kamiar. Dirty things in the chat. It's not enough to make me think that they're like all the, like they're full on too good to tank. But you know, if they were full on tank, they would have gone 0-5. But I think that given the results and given who the results were against this week, I'd say about 3/4 of a tank.
Nice, I like it, Kamiar. Where are you putting the tank at?
I think I said a couple weeks ago, like solidly at a 6.5, just because like. They should be tanking with the roster that they have, right? And that makes a lot of sense, but they somehow keep on winning games. Either they're playing lights out, Lou Dort is somehow hitting a corner three in the clutch.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about
that. Yeah, in the clutch, so and they trusted him with that shot. That play was clearly designed to do something right. Like that with Dort as an option. But then again, they're also going to get their butts kicked like you saw against Denver. Like they should lose those games. So OKC going 2-2, splitting a week when you thought they probably should have gone 1-3 or maybe even 0-4, considering the amount of talent that Atlanta has that OKC doesn't, just because OKC hustles hard and they have a really good culture of defense and fast breaks. It's just gonna be 6.5 because I mean, and again, they should tank because the roster they have, Muscala should not be dropping 20 a night. But here we are.
Before we get to Silva's tank meter, I do want to mention, because Kamiar reminded me of this, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander completely and totally outplayed Trae Young. And that holds a warm place in my heart, especially after Sam Vecenie on The Athletic posted his top young prospects in the NBA and had Shai above Trae Young there as well.
Beautiful.
It's pretty awesome. All right.
Love that. Shai's got much better hair, too.
Well, that's not hard.
Yes.
Jacob has better hair than Trae Young.
All right. Now I feel like we're just trying to be mean here. Silva, really mean. If the tank is full, it means the Thunder are full on tanking. If the tank is empty, that means they're trying to make the playoffs. Where do you put them?
I'll put it this way. If I'm Jacob Niffen and I'm driving to Grandy's two or three times, it takes about 15 minutes to get there. Wherever my gas tank is at that point, that's where we're at. So I'd say in about 70% of the way full. You know what I mean?
Thank you for also outing me and my frequent trips to Grandy's.
Yeah, like gross, man.
I respect Grandy's.
Fast the food, Cracker Barrel is all.
The only time I've ever been to Grandy's in my life was when I was eating lunch with Jacob. I've never been to Grandy's voluntarily.
I didn't know that there were any Grandy's that were still operating.
The sweet tea is good. The sweet tea is good. It probably has like other random like things in it.
Sure.
Because they probably don't clean it out. Hey, but yeah.
At least I don't stoop as low as going to Del Rancho. Okay.
Whoa.
Del Rancho.
Whoa. I feel like people are going to judge you really hardly for choosing Grandy's over Del Rancho. Remember those old commercials with that little kid that I wanted to punch in the face in a cowboy outfit?
Yes.
He'd be like, steak sandwich supreme. And I'm like, I want to punch him right in the face.
He's got to be around. He's around.
I'm
going to
find him. He's an adult now.
He's probably on
punch him right in the face.
I'm being honest.
Wow.
All right, Taylor. Taylor, take us on a trip through the live stream chat and let's answer some of the questions that have come through.
All right. We got some good ones, but there's been a lot of fun ones too. So I'm going to have to try and scroll through these. The first one is actually from Facebook. Our guy, Matt Clarkson. So, Kamir, you mentioned Blake, and he had a follow-up to that. Matt asked, would bringing in Blake hurt the tank? And I think what he's getting at, would it hurt? Or maybe, you know, we've seen guys come in and kind of revive their careers. What if Blake does that, and all of a sudden the Thunder winning games?
That's a great question from Danan. I'd like to point out one time we were playing pickup ball with Matt Clarkson and he reached his leg out quickly so I could not make an entry pass and he kicked my ring finger and it's literally never been the same. And that was like 7 years ago. So yeah, my finger doesn't pop anymore. So thanks for that, Matt. Secondly, would he hurt the tank? I think you treat him like Horford, but he probably rests more and you probably get a young asset with it. So you still are a lottery team. You may not be a bottom five team, but neither were the Pelicans. So I think you hurt your odds, yeah, but you also get something young and or at least some sort of asset in return with them too. So kind of like yes and no-ish. I don't know. Here, what do you guys think?
Let me throw a follow-up in there, Kamyar. Would you rather the Thunder get the number 4 overall pick in the 2021 draft? Or would you rather them trade for Blake, get the number 7 pick in this draft, but get an unprotected Detroit 2025 pick for taking on Blake?
I'd do that one because Detroit is a garbage franchise that occasionally wins, like you saw with the Bad Boys, and then when you saw with Rip Hamilton and all those other dudes, typically they're not going to be that good. They're kind of like the Kings, where they're just like, they usually put something that sounds good together, but never actually comes to fruition. So yeah, I'd do the second one in a heartbeat.
Interesting. Okay.
You didn't like the Josh Smith, Greg Monroe front court coming?
I mean, it was an experience.
Didn't they have Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond both?
Yes,
they
did. Yes, of course.
God, Towers. That's a lineup good for 1985.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, Taylor, hit us with another one.
So Niner by Nature asks us, is Teo having a better season than Killian Hayes? I think that's a pretty interesting question.
Well, Killian hasn't really played.
He hasn't really played, for sure. But based off what we saw from Killian.
Yeah, Teo's been better for sure.
Teo was the one selected on the French national team and Bingo. Not Killian Hayes.
Bingo.
True.
Teo's not flashy, true. Like we talked about. He's just solid.
He needs to wear a shooting sleeve or something.
Get a headband.
You go to customize his player on 2K or something.
What if he goes all out like Robert Swift on us over the next few years?
Teo came to training camp next year with a throat tattoo.
I was about to say what if he comes by with like Jordan Clarkson style? Like one year he looks, he's just like fresh boy, and next year he's got like James Johnson throat. Wrote the tattoo.
That'd be awesome. All right, Taylor, hit us with the next one.
So we have two more that I really want to get to. One is from our guy, Nate Sanders, that we addressed earlier in the podcast that we would answer. And the other one is from a new listener from India. It's pretty cool. Shout out.
Yeah.
We'll get to him. Really, really cool. So the first, it's from Nate Sanders. Can you guys talk about the Rockets pick? With them sucking right now and having the hardest remaining schedule, it seems like there's a good chance they end in the top three. Also, isn't there still like a 50% chance that pick ends outside of the top five as well? And, you know, to Nate's point, we just talked about locker room. So I'm getting these notifications now. 3 minutes ago, I just got a notification that somebody went live in a locker room, a chat room titled Rockets Are Bad. And that is
well
awesome.
Said. Yeah. That's the thing with the Rockets pick. Like, do I want them to be a little less bad? Yes. There we go. But even if they're the worst, it's still a coin flip. There's still a good chance that OKC ends up with that pick. So from that perspective, bottom out, baby.
Yeah.
So like, how great would that be?
For the numbers perspective on that, Justin, if the Rockets finish with the worst record, the second worst record, or the third worst record in the league, they have a 52% chance at landing a top four pick, a 48% chance of being outside the top four.
Yeah.
So that means, like you said, it's almost a literal coin flip on if that pick conveys to the Thunder or stays with Houston.
Yeah. Hey, something else on this point that just because we're doing some all-star stuff and some other stuff around the association, I don't know if we'll get to this. It's a good place to plug it in. Victor Oladipo turned down a pretty large extension, extension he could be offered from the Houston Rockets. It was reported earlier today by Woj.
I don't know if there's a lot to read into that because that was kind of a formality.
Okay.
It was kind of a formality. They can only offer so much right now.
Yeah.
So you have to throw it out there anyways, right? Yeah. Like you have to throw it out there anyways.
As per
But we'll see what happens. What we really need as Thunder fans is for Christian Wood to get back. Christian Wood and Victor Oladipo to get healthy and help them win some games.
They fell off a cliff when Wood went out.
Yeah. Now they just have Jewish boner and it's not very good.
Dude, you need to stop. Like, why? Why is that your main joke you always go to?
10 of 10. All right. Taylor, you said you have one more left.
Here's a super quick one when I try and find the one I was talking about. Is Poku ready to come back to the Thunder?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm ready for him to come back to the Thunder. Do you see some of those stupid behind the back passes? He thought he was Steph Curry, except he's like super long and white and can't shoot.
I am so ready for him to bring the sauce back to Oklahoma
City.
Just
like Steph Curry. I don't know. I've had a lot of, I kind of want him to stay in the bubble, honestly, because I think the bubble
goes on for like 2 more weeks.
Right. And there's something about, if anybody's ever been to Disney, like once you leave Disney, the sheen wears off. I think it could be a little bit of that for Poku.
That's what happened to Jamal Murray this year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like when he comes back, Basley. I think he might try.
We got Jamal Murray at home.
He might try a behind the back pass and just throw it right to the other team.
Well,
it might be a little bit of a, you know, Cinderella midnight scenario for him.
He did as much at the beginning of the season. Remember, he threw that behind the back pass that went like directly out of bounds. Also, we've been talking about Poku, and I haven't got to do this yet.
Alexis Pokusevski.
Pokusevski, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Freaking
I like, but I like the confidence. That's all I care about right now.
100%.
Like in a year, if he's still like not progressing at all, but he still has the same confidence, that's all I care about. Like Terrence Ferguson, the guy has a lot of athletic ability, but no confidence. So therefore, shot. Abdul Nader, he slimmed down and got more athletic and didn't have as much ability, but still had a lot of confidence. So like he looks like a dude in the NBA. It's like once you lose your confidence, you might as well really stop playing. Or go to Europe apparently. And Alexa Pokusevski, like he does not lack for confidence at all. So I'm not worried about him.
That's a good point. So here's the last one
for it. He's still super young.
Yeah, 19.
True.
Nick mentioned on the uncontested Twitter, he is younger than Cade Cunningham. He is younger than Jalen Suggs. He's younger than Evan Mobley. Yep. He would be one of the youngest guys in this upcoming draft. So.
I think I saw somewhere today, obviously depending on who gets drafted, he will probably be like the sixth youngest player in the NBA next year.
That's wild.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of time to grow, man.
100%.
All right. So our last one is from our new friend from India, which is awesome. Really appreciate him coming into the chat, and I'm going to completely butcher this name and I apologize in advance, even if I wasn't bad at names in general.
Why are we letting Taylor
a guy Rao? He asked Dort or Thibault.
Dort.
Dort, 100%.
It's not close, man.
I'm going Dort also.
Dort's got more handles and more confidence on the offensive end.
But can Dort make a vlog?
Yeah, but that is fair. Oh,
dude, I would sign up for a Dort vlog.
Yeah, how well versed is Dort in TikTok?
If I could have all of Dort's talent and ability and confidence inside of Tybal's body, his frame, would be ideal. But of course, I'm still going to take Dort.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of Dort being just short and stocky. Yeah, he's not really short. He's like 6'4".
I think the real conversation that we're about to, especially come the second part of the season and into the next coming seasons, obviously not like maybe full all around players, but at least on the defensive end, not Thibault, but Dort or Ben Simmons.
Is it Thibault like a couple years older than Lou Dort too?
Thibault's a little older.
He is a little older.
I think Thibault's 24. Dort's 22.
Yeah, I was about to say Thibault. He came out of Washington a little bit later than everybody else.
Yeah, he spent 2 years in Washington. Yep.
Hey, shout out to all of you guys who not only sent in questions, but have been chatting along with us in the chat, because we just got a quote-unquote award from Restream. We've received 100 messages today, which is pretty awesome. We appreciate you guys tuning in and
participation trophy.
So again, just back to full circle, back to the beginning of the podcast, be sure to tune into Locker Room, because instead of just doing chats, we actually can talk with you guys.
All right, guys. You ready to take a trip around the association?
As always, of course.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
All right, I figured for around the association, as we are approaching All-Star Weekend, we could talk a little bit about the All-Stars. Let's start off with the thing that everybody loves to talk about. Who got snubbed? Snubbed SBA. Is also a great word. I love the word snubbed.
SGA.
Especially his SGA performance guys. Right around this All-Star selections. I mentioned it in my post-game the other night. Past five games, shooting like 67% from the field, like 68% from three, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. He's been on another level.
Here's the thing. Homer hat aside, like, I get it. The SGA is the Homer pick, 100%. Devin Booker got the Damian Lillard sympathy selection to the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone loves Damian, or everybody loves Devin Booker. Everybody wanted to see Devin Booker make the All-Star game. The numbers aren't there. The numbers are not there. If you look at numbers, it's SGA, hands down.
But yep, SGA's better.
He got that LeBron tweet.
Yeah, that's right. That's 100%. Yeah, exactly. And the difference is the Suns are the feel-good story, and nobody watches the Thunder because they're not on television for anyone, even if you live in Oklahoma.
Not even Thunder fans watch Thunder games. They watch the Mavs games instead, like I did the other day.
Any other snubs you guys got?
There's quite a few. I'm trying to think of my head.
I was gonna make Domantas Sabonis my snub until
now he's in.
Yeah, he got
Gordon Hayward's still not in, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's tough. He's having his best season since he was in Utah.
Hayward's a good one. That's definitely a good one.
That is a good one.
Charlotte's been like way better than anyone thought. LaMelo's like really good. I was wrong about him. I thought he was gonna suck.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's played really well. I don't know. Part of me wants to say Mike Conley. A little bit of a snub.
He's had a really good season.
He's never been an All-Star before. But I think that kind of played in. Like, a lot of people didn't want to give him a sympathy vote. Because this is probably the last year he's got a chance even at it, you know. So
I'm scrolling through my tweets because there was a couple of tweets that had the list of some of the snubs in each conference. But I came across the Kendrick Perkins video.
Oh, man.
Poor
Perk.
Boost.
What about Van Vliet?
I was listening to All the Smoke with Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, and they had Perkins on. And Perk, he said a lot of cuss words, by the way. That's basically every other word. But Perk talked about the first time he had ever been on camera and on television, and that how, like, to calm himself down, he had smoked some weed, and he was high on live on national television, and like he looked really, really dumb. He said he was sweating, and he said he couldn't smoke that loud before he went on TV anymore. But now he wanted to be a coach, but then he found it easier just to go on TV and say random things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great podcast.
That's the way to make some money right there.
It's a great podcast.
Another snub, Bam Adebayo.
What about Bradley Beal?
Bradley Beal made it.
Damn it, Kamiar.
Oh, please. I'm not thinking about Bradley Beal. I'm thinking about what's his face?
Mm-hmm.
The other one.
That one guy.
The other one.
Bradley Beal too.
Bradley Beal.
All right, so we got DeMar DeRozan. He's putting up some big stats, and I get why he
deserves it over DeRozan.
Yeah,
I agree.
Jay deserves it over Chris Paul, if you ask me.
That's some heat right there.
You guys see the report that Jimmy Butler,
Jimmy Butler
turned it down because they didn't take Bam Adebayo?
I didn't hear that.
Jimmy Butler shot down an All-Star. Man.
Good. He hadn't played all season anyways.
Yeah, true. I was going to say, it's kind of...
It feels like a nice, convenient way to get out of going to the All-Star game and make it seem virtuous.
Yeah, fair. That's what I was wondering. Chris Middleton. he's having a hell of a
season. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton's also.
I might be the biggest snub on both sides.
He's really good. I know a lot of people bought a whole lot of Chris Middleton moments on Top Shot, hoping he was going to make the All-Star team, and those values would spike. And so, they did.
Trae Young, Fred VanVleet.
Trae Young should have made it. Atlanta sucks.
That's a bonus. And Tobias Harris, he has been playing pretty well, but I don't know if those are All-Stars.
I was thinking about Tobias, but at the end of the day, do you guys even really care who makes the All-Star game?
No. Let's be honest. Contest.
Klay Thompson was ahead of Shea, and he's broken.
In the fantasy,
he hasn't played in 2 years. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move on. At halftime during the All-Star game, they're going to have a dunk contest. Mm-hmm. So far, the players that we know will be a part of it: Anfernee Simons from the Portland Trail Blazers, Cassius Winston from the Indiana Pacers, Obi Toppin from the New York Knicks. Do you guys like those three names?
I like Obi.
No. No.
I don't want Obi.
Nobody's going to want to tune in. Like, nobody really cares.
Yeah, this is the problem. This is the problem with the dunk contest in recent years. Like, all those guys can dunk, 100%. Mm-hmm. They can dunk, but the dunk contest needs star power.
Superstars. When was the last time we saw that happen?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. If you guys could choose four dunkers this year for the dunk contest, who would your selections be?
One of them's Jaw.
Mm-hmm. Jaw's in.
Jaw, sure. LeBron.
One of them's Zion.
Zion's a fun
I want to see his fat body get off the ground and do something
Zion.
Cool.
I want to see Hami.
I don't think I go with Zion. He's more of a power.
I like Jaw, Zion, and Hami.
Zion could get hit. Like, I bet he could get as high as like his head at the top of the backboard. Like, he's bringing a lot of weight, but
it's
like he has a lot
watch
of force.
That guy dunk a basketball?
Yeah,
that's like watching those really redneck guys that get out there on the trampolines whenever they call the fans down, except that he doesn't hit the trampoline.
My gosh. Like, he didn't seem like he'd have the acrobatics really package.
Good. Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be throwing down the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine style dunks. He's just going to like, I'm going to jump really high from the left side. I'm going to jump really high from the right
Aaron
side.
Aaron Gordon is still really mad about losing the dunk contest, by the way.
He wrote a song about it, I think.
Yeah, he wrote a song about it.
Chill out, Aaron Gordon.
Okay, Justin, so if you don't want Zion, who do you want in?
I like Jaw. I like Jaw as a pick. I do like Hami. Bring the champ back. Let him have another crack at it. Man, that's a great question.
I'd like to see them shoot some injections into Russ's knees and let him have a go at it like he was 26 again. Don't worry about the scarring inside those things, buddy. Just shoot him up and let him go.
Also, he's playing great. I'm really excited about the Wizards.
He's playing great.
It's been fun.
Yeah, but should have won today, too, against Boston.
Yeah. But
okay, Justin, what are you going to say?
Ant.
Yes.
Let's get Ant in
there. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Like, that dunk alone, that's his resume.
Agreed.
But what about his counting stats?
Oh.
Did you see his VORP in that game? It wasn't very good.
Nate Duncan's career has been heading to that moment.
It's so true.
Forever.
I don't say this. I'm not even going to. Never mind. I was going to say something. I'm not going to say it.
What were you going to say? And now I'm curious.
I'm not going to say it.
What does it involve?
Just really lame by Nate
Duncan.
I like
the Aaron Fox. The Aaron Fox is a good pick.
That would be interesting. Fun. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I like how we said a lot of young guys.
Isaiah Roby, obviously, after that monster dunk he had.
That's okay, who Ant is. Yeah, Edward.
Yeah. Before we move on and wrap this thing up, we talked about dunk contest. Who are your picks for 3-point contest?
Joe Harris.
He's shooting 50% from three in basketball.
It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely unreal.
He is the Duncan Robinson of this year. I feel like I haven't heard as much about Duncan Robinson, but this year it's like everything Joe Harris.
Yep. You got to get Joe Harris. I want to see Dame in there.
Yeah, Dame's fun.
Get some star power. Get Dame in there.
I really think Muscala would be a blast, especially how he's played this season. I think he deserves it. I think it'd be fun to watch Muscala in there.
I would like that.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I mean, you have Steph healthy again, so maybe
he's
out there and does maybe it.
Steph, Brad Beal, too.
I think Justin just said it. Get Steph in there, too. Get Steph and Seth. Get the brothers.
Oh, Steph.
Seth is good.
Yep. So that's a good one. I like that.
And Joel Embiid for some reason.
Can we get Ben Simmons in the 3-point contest just because?
Ben Simmons.
Okay, so somebody floated this idea. I've heard this mentioned in reference to the Olympics, but I would like to see it with NBA All-Star competitions as well. Every sporting event needs one just like random average person for context. Because when everybody competing is amazing, it's hard to like get a reference point of like how amazing it is. So in the 3-point contest, we just need like homeboy from the LA Fitness in Atlanta, who's like there every weekend for his pickup run. Like get him out there and see how he does.
Yeah, his money ball rack. Like, it's kind of like watching a game.
Like Joel Embiid or something.
Yeah. It's kind of like watching a game with like me and Jake or something like that when somebody does something that's totally dumb and we're just like, guy freaking sucks.
Exactly.
But in reality, like they're like 6'8" monsters with really long arms.
Like, get Tommy are in the skills competition trying to dribble through those cones.
Get Jake's dad, Rob, in this thing and then we're having a good time.
Yes.
Yeah, we watch these games. We're like, man, that guy sucks. And then we go down to the local gym and watch some guy that played 2 years of high school basketball. And we're like, holy shit, he's the best player I've ever seen in my life.
He's got hops.
You know, just the contrast. Yeah.
This is a lesson about how you get a fan excited about Davis Bertans.
There you go. Yeah. Davis would be a good
Davis,
one.
Davis, baby.
Yes.
Hey, look at Davis over there hitting 10 in a row. And then it just pans to me and I've missed 6 in a row from the corner.
Like, oh, yeah, then you get it. At least he's trying, though.
Then you get it. Yeah.
I wish Davis Bertans played on a team in the South. So just fans would just call him Davis.
Davis
Bertans.
Davis Bertans.
And then I wish we could get somebody playing on a team up north where they tried to pronounce it real fancy, like Davis Bertans.
Davis Bertans is who takes your order when you go to Granny's.
All right. On that note, we're getting out of here. Hey, thank you guys so much for checking out the podcast. We appreciate you. If you missed the beginning of it, our new post-game pods, they're still going to be in your feed like normal, but we're recording them live on the Locker Room app. So make sure you go sign up. If you do, join the OKC Thunder room or group. I think they're called groups. And join the NBA group. Send us a screenshot on Twitter. We're going to enter you in a chance to win a Dortle Combat shirt. They're freaking awesome. You're going to love it. Thank you guys who are in the stream tonight. We appreciate you guys so much for jumping in, hanging out with us, asking all those awesome questions. If you're listening to the podcast version, thank you as well. Please go drop a 5-star rating while you're at it. That would mean a ton to us. We will see you guys Wednesday on Locker Room. Also, thank you to Jacob Silva hopping on the pod tonight. Jacob, it's always good to have you here.
Sure, guys. Ton of fun.
So we will be back with you guys Wednesday on the Locker Room app and then Thursday morning in your podcast feeds after the Oklahoma City Thunder take on Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Or as Michael Cage would say, Luka Doncic. I think Taylor Peterson probably says it that way too.
Wait, it's Doncic?
You guys have a great beginning of your week. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, Thunder up.